Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome in Grant and Danny downstairs at our DC Lottery Live studios, where we will be broadcasting for the next 4 hours. And if you're coming down to Southeast DC to spend some time today around the ballpark, on the waterfront, headed over to the wharf, any of the beautiful new neighborhoods down here that are being constructed each and every day as we come to work.
A lot of tower cranes, Chris Russell's worst nightmare.
Come by and see us. We've got guests in-house with us throughout the show, including Kevin Franzen, the former National and Major League player, at 10:30. All-star from the Milwaukee Brewers, who is from Maryland, Josh Hader, is going to be with us from 12:30 to 1. We got other guests, Major League Baseball dignitaries, swinging by for segments at a time throughout the show, both today and tomorrow. So if you come on down to 1015 Half Street, normally we broadcast upstairs in our studios. We're bringing the show downstairs so that you guys can watch what we're doing. You'll be watching basically through a pane of glass, as if you were at the zoo or something and you were staring at a penguin.
Do not tap on the glass. Do not feed the animals. They are not allowed to eat. You could ruin their diet and their natural habitat. This is a radio studio. Contrary to what, you know, basically has been going on for the last hour, this is not a bunker in Afghanistan. We actually are in our own building, but we got on the air here. This is going to be fun, dude. The sporting calendar has ground kind of to a halt, right? I mean, there's nothing going on right now. The World Cup expired this past, yesterday, France wins, vive les bleus. It's done. That's over. Basketball Summer League is going on. People report on that like it's a thing. It's not. Whatever. There is very little happening. The sort of eyes of the sporting world right now, this minute, around Washington, D.C., and it's a cool thing. Hasn't happened in nearly 50 years.
Yeah, it's a really cool experience that you and I are going to take part in today and tomorrow. These festivities are amazing. So we've got our Home Run Derby show tonight right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Yes, sir.
You and I are walking over to the field, and from about 5 until 7, over the next couple of hours, you and I are going to be broadcasting from field level during batting practice, legitimately in the first and third base coacher's box, wandering around the infield at Nationals Park. So we'll be bringing you that special programming. But kudos, Washington, D.C. So far, so very good.
Showing
I got to
well,
tell
yeah. you. Yeah, man.
I have been to, I think, 8 of the last 9 All-Star weekends now all around the country, and I have broadcast live from the Futures game every single one of those years. Yesterday's Futures game, which for those of you that don't know, is basically the All-Star showcase for all the best prospects in baseball, and they put on a hitting display. The Home Run Derby starting early in D.C. yesterday with 6 home runs from the kids in the minors. But that was the best attended Futures game probably we've ever had in terms of the amount of the stadium filled by fans wearing their gear, many of them Nats fans, but we had fans from all over the country descend upon the ballpark yesterday. I would say maybe the Kauffman Stadium Futures game several years ago in Kansas City. They were in the middle of a rebuild, and Eric Hosmer, you know, Will Myers, and Mike Moustakas-type players were participating in that game. But it was easily one of the two best I've ever seen in terms of turnout. Might have been the largest Futures game crowd ever, to the point where I had people coming up to me, because they know I'm a DC guy, going, "Hey, man, this is amazing."
Look, a lot of, "Hey, dude, this is..." Sort of fill in the blank.
Absolutely.
There. Really
and
cool.
That's what this weekend's about, to be completely honest with you. We take a lot of flack as a sports town from time to time. We are an event town, and by the end of this weekend, I think we could send a nice message holding this event, crushing it as baseball fans in terms of how we're viewed as a baseball town around the country. If tonight the atmosphere is hopping, if the All-Star game on Tuesday night is the place to be and the energy is palpable and there's an electricity in the air at Nationals Park, Danny, I think it could go a long way towards swinging the pendulum with some momentum for getting a little respect around the country.
So look at what's happened in the last however many months, right? When you think of D.C., or you really didn't think of D.C., if you're a sports fan. If you live in, I don't know, you live in Milwaukee, you live in Chicago, LA, Portland, whatever. The only thing that will come up is, hey, you know how long it's been since they've gotten to a conference final? Have you noticed they haven't won anything? And that would kind of be the end of the discussion. Like, did John Wall get mad at a center again? That was the entire discussion of the Redskins, Redskin, and that was sort of the end of it. Look at what's happened here recently. You've got the All-Star game going on right now. This neighborhood is testament to the fact that all those big economic engine things that owners love to trump and tout when they want to build their stadiums in you know, underdeveloped areas, this is actually one of the times where it's worked. Look at the condos. Look at the restaurants. Look at all the different things that you can do, whether it's the fountains, parks, and, again, some of the places you and I like to go eat. They're still fixing this thing. They're still building this thing surrounded by or surrounding Nats Park, and that's really cool. So that's been pretty massive. But beyond that, the Washington Capitals won and 500,000 people showed up to experience as much joy as you'll ever find in a sports town. No riots, no eating horse apples, no tipping cars over, setting fires like they do in Philadelphia. Just pure, unbridled, tame joy where everybody got along. Now, only, you know, about a month later, here we are again with the eyes of the sporting world upon us. D.C. kind of showcasing itself pretty well, I would say. Handling the influx of tourists and people that may not have come here otherwise. Restaurants dominating, the hotel hospitality game. And now all of a sudden, of course, you've got the home run derby here tonight and then the All-Star game tomorrow. I think D.C. is going to show well as a sports town, and that's kind of cool. It gives me a little bit of pride.
Yeah, we're excited about it. Kevin Franzen is in town, played for the Phillies and the Nats, among other clubs, and is a former major leaguer. He's signing autographs over at FanFest this afternoon. There's dozens of former greats, former players, and former Nationals as well, who are going to be taking part in the festivities over at FanFest, and he's one of those many, many guys. He's going to stop by for a half hour coming up at 10:30, and I want to ask him, because he's coming over here, having played here a handful of years ago, his thoughts on this neighborhood. I mean, he's a guy, like so many of the players, you spend a lot of time down here, you live around here. I'll bet it's unrecognizable to him. But let's start the show here on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines with you at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. What about the All-Star weekend, in air quotes, because the Sunday has passed and now it's Monday, Tuesday, but that's kind of what they call this. But these festivities, Fan Fest and Playball Park, any of the many events that are going on, the parties all around town, Futures Game Sunday, Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star Game tomorrow. What are you in on? Is there anything you've already done? Is there something that you have tickets to that you're planning to go to? We want to hear about your planned experience for how you're going to try to get the most out of this, because you're probably going to wait nearly 30 or so years to get this thing back.
It only took 50
in Washington, D.C. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. I, as you know, was broadcasting the Futures game yesterday. That's my favorite event of all the festivities every year because I follow the minor leagues very closely. I posted a bunch of pictures on Instagram. I had an amazing day yesterday. I got to sit down in the managerial office, the visiting office that the managers who come through Nats Park, skippering the opposing clubs have, with the manager of the world team yesterday, David Ortiz. And it was 10 minutes of legitimately Poppy chilling in a recliner and me sitting on a little table next to him, talking shop, talking baseball.
I wish he would come out of his shell a little bit.
He's the best.
You know?
That was such a treat for me. Same with Torrey Hunter, who was in Dave Martinez's office in the home clubhouse managing the U.S. team, 8-9-time gold glover and a 5-time all-star. So I was able to talk shop and talk baseball with him for a handful of minutes, which was really cool. But watch the game from the dugout. And I always say this, there's nothing quite like that. Sitting in that same bench in the same seats as, you know, Harper and Scherzer are normally going to be trying to rally the team from and yelling from during normal games at Nats Park on the first base side. We had a kid from the Red system named Hunter Green, who was the second overall pick last year, throw 103 miles an hour three times yesterday. Now, he sat 101. He threw over 30 fastballs. None of them were in the 90s, by the way. A 102-mile-per-hour fastball was turned around for a homer. It was the first time in baseball this season that that has happened. And according to StatCast, we had the loudest, most prodigious home run that has been hit in the StatCast era, hit yesterday. Ideally, this will never happen at Nats Park again, but a Mets prospect by the name of Peter Alonso was a second-round pick out of the University of Florida. Get this. This dude, who's got kind of a borderline bad body, I mean, he's like a big, thicker, fairly unathletic first baseman from the looks of it, but he is a masher. He's got 21 homers in double and triple A this year. He hit a ball, think about this, Danny, 46 degree launch angle. Okay. Launch angle generally is like, you know, oh, you're in the low 20s. You're in the mid to high 20s.
30 might be too high.
Right. 46 degrees, 114 miles an hour off the bat, 113.6. The steepest launch angle of a home run hit in baseball this year was Giancarlo Stanton at 45 degrees among all the All-Stars. There's only ever been one ball hit 46 degrees that got out of the park. That's so high. Basically, that's normally a pop-out.
So it's like for Major League when the guy says, at first I thought it was too high.
Exactly.
He would have said that about this homer.
But think about it. 114 off the bat. There's never in the StatCast era been a home run like that hit. It went, think about this, Nats fans. You go to this ballpark, to the last row in left field, above the foul pole, it was legitimately 6 feet in front of that red box that you and I sit in. 106.7, the fan box. Mm. So if I was in the box and had a glove, I could have reached and caught the ball at the top of the section in left field. That ball was hit yesterday.
Man, oh man.
Just some amazing displays of athleticism and tools by some really good young players.
10-6, and the homer was king in that ball game yesterday. That was kind of neat. But you've got a cool thing here going on. So the insider's sort of guide. If you've decided I'm just going to experience this thing, I'm going to drink it all in, you can go to a town hall with Commissioner Rob Manfred. You can check out the 18 and under Team USA selection show, some of the ancillary events going on, in addition to the guys that are over at Fan Fest at the convention center. Anywhere you turn, you could swing a dead cat and hit some sort of cool baseball event. But to me, the marquee stuff is tonight. This is something that I have grown kind of weary of watching it on television, mostly the Chris Berman effect, to be honest with you, and how long this show would run, talking about the Home Run Derby. The amount of extra, you know, just extra hours, weird commentary where they would bring somebody over and have an awkward interview where nobody wanted to say anything bad on anybody, so nothing really would happen, and Berman just backing and ruining it. Seeing the Home Run Derby live is something I've never done. B, I'm now excited about again. That event used to be really cool when they first kind of brought it back from the, you know, the 1950s show that filmed over two winners, basically at some weird municipal field. I'm into this now. I'm excited about this. Even though you don't have the stars, this feels like the slam dunk contest with like a young Dominique Wilkins and a Spud Webb kind of player talking about this field for Home Run Derby. I'm into it tonight, dude.
And tonight's going to be amazing. The All-Star game, which is unequivocally, and it's not close, the best All-Star game in sports. It's just baseball when the game starts with really good players on the field. Here at Nats Park tomorrow night, what are you in on? What do you have tickets to? What are you most excited about? 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. We'll get to your calls in a moment. Remember, the only way you can take 106.7 The Fan with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The Fan. Adam Schefter apparently saying Le'Veon Bell might sit out the first part of the year. Danny just told me my response. Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, so it's our buddy Ross Tucker tweeted at Ross Tucker NFL. So I guess Adam Schefter's on the Sirius XM channel.
I think it's possible Le'Veon Bell sits out the first half of the year if he doesn't get a long-term deal done.
The idea would be, instead of racking up 400 touches and getting, you know, kind of used and abused, quote unquote, in that way, he would be able to enter free agency healthy in 2019. I'll believe that one when I see that one, because you're basically saying I'll turn down $1 million a week. Thanks.
Let me know. Yeah, exactly. But here's really the idea. If you want to get into the idea, is his agent saying, hey, Adam, will you put this out for us? It's called leverage.
Let me write that down.
L-E-V-E-R-A-G-E. He wants the contract.
Leverage?
Deadline's coming up in a couple of days. If he doesn't get the contract, he's going to hold out throughout all of training camp, and then he'll show up with his tail between his legs again, and he will run himself into the wall for 16 games and probably leave via free agency at the end of the season. But Le'Veon Bell is going to play. He is going to hurt his stock moving forward if his numbers are down and he's playing less. Not to mention, if you don't train, as we saw, his first couple weeks weren't at his level.
Right.
They were not up to his standard. Now, he was fine because he's arguably the best running back on the planet.
Great, yeah.
But if you don't have camp, you don't have a preseason, and now you're coming back in season, look at some of these starting pitchers like Alex Cobb from the Orioles and Lance Lynn with the Minnesota Twins, Jake Arrieta even with the Phillies, who's got kind of pedestrian numbers despite a really good start lately, that came in late.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you chase your tail for months. I mean, you're never back up to speed, so I think that would be a big mistake, but I honestly think they put that out there. What else can he say? I'll be there for the first game no matter what. Just keep don't paying me.
I'm totally going to walk away. Okay, I'm walking away now. All right, you can't hear me. I've left. Bye. That's what it is. But you're right. It's still, man, they're doing a stare down, and the team has all the leverage there.
What do you guys have tickets to? What are you going to take part in as far as the All-Star festivities go? That is the question on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. DC's chance to host baseball's largest summer event. Let's go to the district online too and talk to Casey. Casey, you're on Grant and Danny. We appreciate the call. How you doing? Casey, are you there? Casey may or may not be there.
Casey's up at the bat. Good talk, Sunsi, out there. So for me, you've been to home run derbies, and so I don't think you've had the same Bermanization of the home run derby that a lot of fans have that kind of turned, I think, some folks off to it, right?
I remember it from pre-going to them over the last several years.
Yeah.
Now, I got enough highlights after you get home while you're having a snack and late night and watching the festivities that were put on, and you see Chris Berman ruining everything. I've been there.
Because I didn't watch it for the last 2 years. I haven't watched the home run derby. I mean,
I didn't even call it last year.
I know, but something about how long it was, and just it was that... it's hard to explain, but like his lasting impact on it is this weird vamping and then the brek, brek, brek calls and how it just wasn't fun anymore for me. And mostly it's because I'm watching it on television. I've seen it. I've been to batting practice and it just kind of got old. And I couldn't tell you I couldn't pull up the ratings necessarily of how they've been good, bad, or indifferent from it. But I just know that kind of hangover from him, I guess it was Carl Ravitch who did it last year. But being able to be there in person, field level type stuff. You know what I mean? And seeing some of these guys up close and kind of that buzz and energy, I think will kind of reinvigorate my zeal for it. I'm excited about tonight. I want to say I'm maybe more excited about tonight than I am about tomorrow.
I like the Home Run Derby more as an event, I think, when I first started going to these. The field is watered down, obviously.
It is.
But I am a hipster in this regard because I've been listening to all the national radio done about the Home Run Derby. People are crushing this. I don't need Giancarlo Stanton hitting 490 to get excited. I'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need Aaron Judge hitting 39 and 40 degree launch angle blasts that end up two rows from the top of the left field seats at Nats Park to feel frisky. I will be just as excited when Kyle Schwarber goes to the second deck and right, or when Bryce Harper puts on a clinic. And I'm glad that he's doing that, by the way. He didn't necessarily want to do the home run derby.
Right.
He wasn't looking forward to this. He doesn't enjoy
the responsibility of it.
He basically said, listen up, DC. You have said for a couple years you wanted me to. I'm going to take care of you. I'll be your guy. And I thank him for that. But without him, I would be way less excited. His round is the biggest story tonight, and it's not close.
I would say that, especially given the context of the national season disappointing and his season, frankly, disappointing in a walk year. Some of the comparable guys, someone like Manny Machado, is having a career year as he prepares to enter free agency. He's the guy now that's getting that $250, $300, $400 million type mentions. Harper, there's a lot of question marks. For me, I want to see the grown men act like kids. During the All-Star game tomorrow, they'll still be, hey, stiff upper lip and all that. Oh, you homer, congratulations. Here's a hearty handshake or here's a high five. While these guys are hitting bolt after bolt after bolt, while Reese Hoskins is going to wrap 17 around the foul pole, you're going to see the guys, you know, fanning each other off with the towels and throwing Gatorade up in the air. That kind of stuff is cool, watching the grown men act like kids. That's going to be fun.
800-636-1067 is the number. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines open. Let's try Steve in Chantilly, who's joining us on Grant and Danny. Steve, thanks for the call. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
Good, man.
Doing very well.
Great show. So I love the Derby. My uncle and I, we bet on it every year. We text back and forth during the whole show. So we love it. So tonight, though, I got a question. I'm lucky enough to be second row tonight.
Wow.
How do I watch this thing? I mean, am I going to be standing up, clapping the whole time? But I don't want to sit down and look like an idiot. I don't want to do too much.
Where are you in the second row at?
literally right lined up with the plate.
Okay, so it's center field.
Right behind the... No.
Home plate.
Lined up with center field.
The silly.
Home plate.
Like President's Club.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't think you can stand up and watch from that view because there's just too many people behind you, and it's not the ninth inning of a playoff game. But I think you're chilling. I think when a bomb gets hit, like, react naturally, right? When someone does something ridiculous, you come out of your feet and you scream.
You can jump out of your seat on occasion.
Absolutely.
Here's what I'll tell you. What we sleep on is there is enough downtime because it's a made-for-TV event. So you're not going to be standing the whole time. This isn't like a Rolling Stones show or something like that.
I would say,
you know?
Thanks for the call, Steve. There is actually more downtime than there's action time.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
This is... I don't want to say it's a tough event live because it's amazing. The highs are really, really high, but there's a lot of time kind of killed between everything going on. Craig, Alexandria, you're on the Fan. What's going on?
Craig.
Heading up to see Fan Fest today. I had a quick story for you. I went to the Fan Fest years ago at Camden Yards, took a little kid with me, and he still talks about it to this day.
Wow.
But I happened to be the guy that was on the wrought iron fence at the top with my glove on. And I went to put my glove up, and I said, oh, my gosh, this ball is going to hit the warehouse.
Griffey.
That just happened to be Ken Griffey's home run. And I turned and pointed, and he looked up, and you can see me pointing to the warehouse.
That's awesome.
And in a lot of the still shots, you can still see me on top of the fence.
That's so cool, and Greg. Thank you for the call. That ball, by the way, the only ball that's ever hit the warehouse. Home run derby early 90s. Oh, Camden Yards opened in 92. The derby, I think, was the next year. But they have commemorative plaques in the same way they do, like, the Hollywood stars
in Los Angeles.
They have these metal, like, balls, basically, is the shape of a baseball with the date and the name of who hit the ball out onto Utah Street. And they're spattered all over Utah Street. You see Palmeiro and a couple of Will Clark and Jay Gibbons and all this stuff. There's one on the bricks on the warehouse. And it's Ken Griffey Jr. from the Home Run Derby. That's such a cool story. Thank you. 800-636-1067. Kevin Franzen will be joining us in studio for the next half hour right here on The Fan. Downstairs, you can come watch the show live at District Live right on 1015 Half Street.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for the Nationals. D.C. generally painted red. Got every color represented this weekend because the All-Star Game is in town. It was cool, Danny, yesterday. I was walking down Half Street, so I parked in the garage where we normally park right here at the studio.
Of course, yeah.
And I was going to get bang for my buck and use that parking all day long, but I'm walking down Half Street toward the center field gate. I'm just counting up all the gear. I see a Padres fan and a Brewers fan. And a Reds
fan. Padres fan is here.
The nice. One is here. It was pretty, pretty cool. But Kevin Franzen, who's a former Nat, of course, came up with the Giants, played in Philadelphia, joins us now. Longtime 9-year major leaguer.
Yeah, man.
On the show with us in studio. So you're in town because you're signing some autographs over at FanFest.
Well, I came over. First off, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Happy to see you again.
Big live crowd here right
now. This is quite the crowd.
They knew you were coming.
Yeah, so the Nationals, the Lerner family, and everyone had a bunch of National alumni come out for some community events first off and did a couple of those things. And then Major League Baseball, we're doing stuff at FanFest, part of this whatever alumni group. And, yeah, it's fun. This is awesome.
I don't know when you or where you lived when you were a National, but you were here in 2014, and just from that time to now.
Oh, my God.
Can you even recognize the neighborhood?
My wife and I drove over here yesterday to go to the—we went to the Futures game a little bit. What the heck is going on around here? It's awesome.
Crazy,
you see the cranes, man.
You missed out on—
Every time I watch it, FP's like, well, there's 11 today, because you can see them all out there, but right. It's true. It's like the amount of growth around here is insane, and
yeah, it's
beautiful.
It's great. You missed out on Bonchon wings among about 8,000 other things that are brand new in this area here. But it is. The game has changed a little bit since you were in Washington. When you look back on that season, though, did you become a D.C. guy for that year? Where did you live? What kind of things were you doing?
We lived in Virginia, that would be Arlington.
Okay.
We lived in Clarendon, so we loved it. We loved our time here. The team itself, that was my favorite team I ever played on. The organization. Look, I'm not going to sit here and rank organizations. It has nothing to do because I've played for two very iconic, you know, organizations, and then playing for the Nationals, which one is building up. I'm very lucky, you know, and playing, mixing in the Angels in there, that's fine. But the whole fact of the matter is, like, DC in itself and what I feel like the Nationals have done over the years to create this is amazing. It's amazing. And to see, like, all the DC fans, the reaction for the Capitals.
Yeah.
I was going, yes.
They needed
that's
it.
That's how it's supposed to be done. They needed it. Yes.
So I grew up here, and I'm 38 now. And I've lived a couple different places, but mostly a D.C. guy, right? The idea that we could be mad or disappointed. Our team is 500. What a disappointment that is. The fact that we've gotten to that level. It's what I try to remind myself all the time. That we had there was an 86-win season. Or like we won 83 games. And that was just the greatest affront to humanity ever.
Yes!
I remember when we were always the bridesmaids so that like Tampa could up the bidding or whatever it was, or you know we were going to get the Padres at one point. The fact that we even have a team that's no longer running their offices out of RFK Stadium trailer parks that get flooded every time somebody sneezes, but now the expectations are raised high enough that that's where we are. That to me is amazing. Kind of speaking to what you're talking about.
Yeah. No. I mean you. Gosh, I can't remember. It was 2010. I came here for the exhibition series. I was with Boston. I just got traded over from the Giants to Boston and seeing Nats Park for the first time. Like, dude, this place is great. Now, if you can only get a team. And sure enough, you get the guys. You know, talent's always going to help you out quite a bit.
Right.
And you get a star like in Bryce. You get, you know, Strauss in here. You're going to win. And the one that you guys don't, but like I think baseball fans forget, Zim's the guy that got everything going here. He really is. You know, so for Riz and the Lerner family to create this here is amazing. It's amazing because, like you said, an 83-win team, that was just like, yes, this is awesome. 96, 97 wins, I mean, that becomes the norm. That's a big thing. And so this 500 thing, it ain't lasting.
You know, people are very upset about the first half, which we'll get into. Kevin Franzen is in studio with
us. Be upset.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, Franzen's got pipes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you do radio right now
West.
You should do radio.
Well, I do that out west. I do a few Phillies games on the radio for, you know, doing color. So that's fun.
That's awesome.
You enjoy it? I have the pipes. The baseball stuff's amazing. The talk show radio stuff. Like with you guys, it's a grind. I never realized that. Realized it.
Did you naturally have a good deep voice, or like did you smoke at all growing up, or like drink a lot of coffee? What's your specialty?
Well, now I'm drinking coffee these days. But let's see. Yeah, I faked my voice for a long time when I was a kid, trying to get it deeper.
Yeah, that might have been the key.
So now it's like just a natural thing. Just go with the deep. But drinking the night before could help.
That's very important. Yeah. That does help. And you're in the big city, so you may have had to go out last night. A 2014 Nats. So that was year one, Matt Williams?
Yes.
Correct. So the next year.
What happened after that?
Everything fell off the rails.
Wait, are we going that route?
Not quite.
I'm going to be honest here. I've made waves on this show anyways back in the day when Bryce was hurt, and I said, Anthony Rendon is that young guy that you guys got to watch. He's our best young guy right now. Right. And everyone
got so mad. Remember that?
And I was building up a teammate, and it had nothing to do with Bryce. Bryce is great. He was hurt.
But you remember that you had to call our show to, like, let me clarify for 14 minutes.
Yes.
Everyone's
it was unbelievable.
Good. I like hope everyone's Bryce happy. Too.
I like everybody.
It had nothing to do with, like, anything. I was like, why can't we build up Anthony? And year after year, we've seen it since then. He's been amazing.
He has been. But where I was going with that is, in 2014, Williams wins Manager of the Year. The next year, things kind of fall apart.
You're
with
welcome
injuries.
With that. His welcome.
Absolutely.
Teammates got him for it.
It was absolutely you that did that. The next year, they don't make the playoffs. He gets blown out and he's gone. As you were watching from afar, though, were you thinking, how is this even happening? This
team
in 2014 was so good.
Yeah, I got released. That's why.
That's what it all
That's
started.
What I said. Correlation. That for sure. There is a correlation. I think a lot of it has to do with some people that are gone. Look, I was nothing on the field as far as, you know, what was going to happen in wins and all that stuff. But when you break down a little bit of the, you know,
some of the specifics,
just the chemistry clubhouse. Part. Yeah.
The stitching.
The fun.
I mean, that year that there was an issue.
They could have used some chemistry.
That was worth ripping lineups off the wall, screaming that you've lost the team. That was not quite Papelbon grabbing Bryce Harper, but we weren't far from that.
Uh-huh. No. It was the same year. What? Beginning and end.
Oh, that's right. It was 2015.
Yeah, that's,
when
that's
it was.
That year.
That's true.
He was doing Mortal Kombat moves.
But the thing is that like the game moves on, the team moves on, everyone continues to go, and it's how do you adjust? And I don't know how you guys are. It's not about just being the flagship and all that. It's, look, they can win because they're really good. They haven't gotten hot. The moment they get hot, oh, watch out.
Here's the problem I have, and we should get into this next. Kevin Franzen is with us, but I have said all year, I'm generally very optimistic. And I think of myself as more realistic. I view baseball, I think, in the same way. Not that I could be a GM or anything, but like how an executive would.
No, you're just saying you are.
It's a long form.
Rizzi's coming after you.
Exactly. It's a long form thing. I'm not going to make major judgments off 9 innings or a game or a week or a month. This is a 6-month marathon. I'm not reactionary, I guess, is my point. Even me, though, as someone who said, it'll come around. It'll be fine. Here is where I've started to worry. We can get into this next. Their rotation is not that good. And right now, it's Max Scherzer and you're praying for rain because Roark for 2 seasons has taken a step back and Gio Gonzalez is scuffling. Strasburg is hurt. When you get him back, that'll be big. You're really keying on Jeremy Hellickson, who's been great as a fifth starter. But they have no organizational depth. There's no one coming through that door unless Rizzo makes a trade. And if you want to rip off, like in the past, the Nats have always been able to go win 21 out of 27.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're talking about, they quote-unquote get hot. You need starting pitching to do that. They got one dude right now who every time he throws is going 7 innings, 2 runs.
And it's special.
It is.
And he's so fun.
He is the man.
He's been regular great for a month. And we're all like, what is going on with Matt?
He's got a 3 ERA in the last month.
He only had 5 strikeouts through 7. Is he hurt? Is he sick?
Max Scherzer, if you go back on it, I know you guys got the clock.
Thanks.
All right. Stuff. Yeah, so I'm used to that.
Radio
industry term.
Yeah,
like
that.
Yeah.
My whole thing is like, look, all the 9-figure guys that have signed over the years, pitchers especially, he's got to be the highest valued one, right?
Without question.
No one's ever even done what he's done that signed that contract.
It's actually a great point. Not even pitcher division. Think
he
hitters.
He is. I wouldn't even say living up because he's living beyond. Because the guy, you want to measure greatness, every year he gets better. There's something he gets better at. And in the moment that he steps back from that, that's when you start questioning, not Max. Max is going out every single season with a different, maybe not a different plan, but I'm going to attack something different this year in the offseason. I'm going to get better. No one's going to catch up to me. And that's beautiful. He hasn't rested. I mean, how many guys have you seen get paid and just go, I'm good.
I'm all right.
Good.
Probably start tomorrow night in the All-Star game. And, of course, very well could win his third straight Cy Young Award. Kevin Franzen is hanging out in studio where Grant and Danny were downstairs at District Live today on The Fan. Baseball's Home Run Derby tonight at 8 on your home for the 2018 All-Star Game. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, presented by HPE and TVAR Solutions, featuring the Hype Converge HPE Simplivity 380 Simplivity. That is the most difficult thing I've ever said in a short time. There was a lot of syllables and weird sentences I've never seen before, but we got through it together, so let's all enjoy that. Kevin Franzen's in studio with us, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Franzen, of course, as we've been talking about, spent 2014 here in Washington, finished his career in San Francisco a year later, and was with the Giants at the start, spent some time with the Angels and the Phils. Favorite ballpark to play in Major League Baseball?
Citizens Bank.
Really?
Yeah. Philly.
Because you rake there at home, or you like the ballpark?
Both.
Okay.
And so I got to experience Citizens Bank when Bonds in 06, 07. So we'd go in there, and A, they were good, right? And they were starting to build this whole thing. To see a crowd react the way they did to one human being was amazing.
That was like the World Series Phillies.
Every year was packed, or every game was packed, 40,000 plus, packed and loud. And with those Bonds days, oh, we had a dude like, there's a guy behind our, two guys behind our dugout, one in a sumo outfit, right? With the, with a t-shirt over the top, and it said Bonds after. Well, you look right next to him and there's a guy with a white t-shirt on, Bonds before, and a guy might've been like 110 pounds.
That's great.
It was, I mean, and it started there, and then they had a sign all the way out, like, you know, the Babe did it on beers and hot dogs.
Yeah.
And then there was a huge, you know, whatever. But so to see, and with all that animosity towards him, and he goes out and crushes a couple homers and one of the farthest home runs I've ever seen in my life, I'm going, this guy's amazing. But the atmosphere in itself, getting, you know, playing there on the road, amazing. When you play there at home and you play hard and you play well for him, I mean, it's that was my favorite ballpark.
So you played, just kind of as your career went, you played with some of the best in the game, including Bonds, right?
Yep.
I want to ask you about that as it kind of applies to Bryce Harper.
Okay.
We all have seen the ceiling. We saw it a couple years ago in the kind of post-Mitchell Report era. People haven't put up many seasons like that. I mean, that's Ted Williams-esque. That's one of the
greatest Hall of Fame
seasons in the modern era. That was something that I don't know if anybody has that ceiling in terms of the year he put together. Last year, just a regular caliber MVP season before he gets hurt and that base that got DFA'd, you know, sniped his knee. This year, obviously,
dude,
the stroke.
That guy up top. They didn't find that guy, did they?
No, they never found him.
They never found that son of a bitch. That's a good sniper.
He was pretty good. The Bob Lee swagger.
The year that he's having, were you ever around a superstar that struggled like that for this long? Because it just you think of the pressure that's met at the team. Like if they were 15 games over, no one would give a damn. It'd be like, hey, you know, star struggles, but team achieves. Everybody's now putting a lot of this on him, fair or unfair. Were you ever around anybody that went through this kind of a stretch?
Howard?
Is that good?
Howard? Would you put him on that?
Yeah. I mean, MVP? Ryan Howard was an MVP.
Yeah.
But he never,
I mean,
track.
He wasn't putting,
right? Didn't he? He was a Hall of Fame track.
I guess I don't know if it was track, but yeah, he put up some numbers that were insane. I think that would be the only one. Because, like, playing with Bonds, like, that was different. Because greatness to me has always been defined by consistency. And can you do this year after year after year after year? And Bonds did it year after year after year after year. And you're going, holy hell. Like how, like when everyone's throwing their best bullets at you, what do you do? And he's like, I don't know. Yeah, I'll hit it through the shift. I don't care. Like he never got bothered by the shift.
What was he like as a teammate, Bonds?
He was great to me.
Really?
You know, you hear all the stories and I'm sure.
Stories.
Yeah. But he was awesome. And I've always been the advocate, you know, FP was great with, you know, him. So you'd hear FP talk positive because if you go up and you weren't scared and talk to him, he's like, okay, great. You're a teammate. If you felt like you were scared going up to him, he felt that. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was a lot of like, all right, whatever. You're going to be scared. I'll just let you be over here. Bonds, he treated me like I was, you know, one of his best buddies. I know it wasn't, but like that's what it felt like in a clubhouse. So,
Kevin Franson on Grant and Danny, what is your take? And I wish for the sake of the discussion you were a left-handed bat, but on the shift. As a guy who you played in the league just a couple of years ago, and even since then, it's changed so much. They're now talking about potentially banning it because it's taken away so much offense. Do you think they should? Do you think guys should learn to hit the opposite way? Should a guy like Bryce lay down some bunts? What do you think?
Look, hitting's hard enough, right? But at the same time, what is the object of the game? Score more runs than the other team, right? And so if you're going to eliminate a guy getting on base and opportunities for people to score because guys are hitting into certain spots, why would you eliminate that? You know, I feel my big take on this thing is, look, if they ban the shifts, it's like saying in the NFL, like basically you're going to the Pro Bowl defense. Play it like that. No right. Blitzing. Guys can't, they got to stand up.
You're going to limit the number of breaking balls you can throw in the game?
Yeah. that what are you taking away? So for me, all you're doing is benefiting the stubbornness of a hitter. I don't care if the guys are coming out and saying like, oh, well, we're facing 90-mile-an-hour sliders and cutters. I'm like, pitchers still make mistakes. And, you know, with two strikes, I think is the biggest thing. How many times with two strikes do you see everyone go straight to the pull side?
Yeah.
You're going, wait, what?
Well, that's what teams do now. Sometimes they'll wait till there's two strikes.
And then they go full pull.
Kevin's saying. Yeah, and then they'll literally shift mid at bat. And you pull right into it.
And I was taught with two strikes, I mean, you're going to widen out a little bit, choke up, and you're going to look to go the other way. That's just how I was brought up. I'm not saying I am not a power hitter. I'm not all this stuff that these guys are. I do feel like you are benefiting the stubbornness of a hitter by not adjusting. So what you're going to tell me is if we eliminate shifts, these guys are going to be allowed to just, you know, continue to do what they do instead of adjusting. One or two hits a week the other way maybe creates it. Now, if someone does that one or two times a week and they don't end up the shift, then that will start talking. But until we see that, I mean, come on. I've seen so many, like, 12 hoppers get through the, you know, a normal second baseman spot.
Right.
And it's now a hit. And you're going, wait, what? How's that possible?
The other thing that's crazy to me, too, Danny, is the number of balls back up the middle. Just watching from the view you get.
My entire life. Base hit.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's like Rendon smokes one over the mound, and there's now a second baseman standing. It's like, where is that
dude? It's been a hit for 120 years, exactly. And now it ain't. Yeah.
But, again, that's part of scouting, right? That's the beauty of knowing this whole thing, because I guess I'm a baseball purist, but isn't that part of the purity? Is adjusting to where guys are hitting?
I would think.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and so if the numbers say that this guy's not going to do it, then why would you go the other way?
So two things quick. Cal Ripken was on the Junkies this morning, and that's how he made his living. He wasn't the fastest guy, but he knew where the ball was going. He moved there beforehand. Do you want to ban that? So I'm kind of with you on that. But here's my devil's advocate counter. When this got bad, quote unquote, and they realized, hey, people aren't really watching like we want them to, and there's not enough offense in the late 60s, they lowered the mound and offense came back. So you can have a change of some kind to kind of encourage what fans like. You and I are watching either way, right?
Yeah.
The game is
no
the
doubt.
Game. We love the game.
No doubt.
But like, you know, attentionally challenged 4-year-old that I've got doesn't like it as much as his dad did or as my dad did, et cetera. Do we have to cater to that?
I hope not. I really hope not. Because I don't know. Part of me just says the game is beautiful. But I understand that not everyone is like myself or yourselves on this whole thing. Like, I just love the game. So no matter whatever you throw out there, I'm going to be like, yes.
For me, I can't make a change like banning shifts because I think it sets a precedent that it's no longer okay to be outside the box or smart or try to zig when other teams are zagging, which to me is the beauty of a small market club like the Astros or the Rays who try to, you can't bullpen next. I mean, you got to do things sometimes to keep up with the Benjamins when you can't spend like they spend. Grant and Danny and Kevin Franz, and you got time for one more? Cool. He's hanging with
us. He does. He does.
We will continue this conversation on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.